we have Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos insider, presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Happy Bud Light Football Friday to you, Troy.
Yeah, it's a great Friday. Such a cool event to be covering a meaningful Broncos game in December for the first time since, really, 2016.
Well, before we dive into the Broncos, I want to ask you about what's going on up at CU. Darren Shiverini fired this week as offensive coordinator. Where do you see Carl Durrell going? Is this the last coaching staff move we see up there in Boulder?
Yeah, I mean, they got to get more offense. I like Chev. I think everyone that's been around him does. He's a great recruiter. They're just not good enough offensively. Lewis took a step backward at quarterback. He looked a little better at the end of the year, but you can't compete in the Pac-12. You can't score points. I mean, it's not that undifferent, you know, different than the NFL. So, for me, I'm going with a guy. If you think Lewis is the guy or the way you're going to recruit, I would go RPO type guy, not straight drop back quarterback. I just don't know there's enough of those guys out there to see you would win the recruiting battle. And so I'm looking in like that Lincoln Riley coaching tree, but I don't know how realistic that is. Given that, you know, Durrell's in his third season, he's got to, I don't know if win next year, he's got to at least get to a bowl in year three. They got to show some real progress.
All right, moving on. Go ahead. Sorry. Moving on to the Broncos. So 11 losses in a row to the Chiefs, Troy. Chiefs coming off now 4 wins in a row. As we've been playing these vignettes all week here on The Fan, it's become clear over time that the Broncos face an organization that's got tremendous stability. Andy Reid's been the coach for all 11 wins in a row. Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes have been the quarterbacks for almost all those wins, or quarterbacked most of those wins, versus a rotating cast of head coaches, coordinators, and quarterbacks for the Broncos, which brings to light the question, is stability the missing thing for the Broncos? Do they need to stick with Teddy Bridgewater and Vic Fangio to have success in the future?
Yeah, I mean, they put themselves in position to be in that conversation, definitely. I would just say, you know, what I learned from covering baseball on a 162-game schedule is you got to exercise patience. You can't get caught up in a small sample size. They're coming off a great win against the Chargers. When they did something similar against the Cowboys, they face-planted against the Eagles. So, you know, if they have a winning record and they're trending upward, then, yeah, that's got to be part of it. But if they go 9-8 and lose, like, their last two games and miss the playoffs, that's part of the conversation as well. To me, it's never been about a winning record. It's been about getting back to the playoffs. So that's 10-7 for me. You know, Bridgewater, I would go to him and say, we want to make you the highest paid backup and have clauses, escalator clauses, based on number of starts made. You know, if they end up having to go young in the draft for the quarterback in the first round. But I just don't think right now is the time to make any declarations, because if they lose to the Chiefs, then they come back and play the Lions in a must-win game. And if somehow they lose that game, then obviously all bets are off. So I would just say pump the brakes a little. But those two, they both have put themselves in the conversation of the future, where that maybe wasn't the case during that 4-game losing streak earlier in the year.
Troy, clearly if the Broncos want to rise back to prominence, they have to dethrone the Chiefs. Anytime you're building a team in the AFC West, it has to be built to be able to beat the Chiefs. And the way the Broncos built their team this offseason was to have a lights-out defense that supposedly could stop the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and a serviceable, conservative offense that runs the ball and protects the ball. Is that the type of offense that can keep pace with this Chiefs offense if the defense can't hold? How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I mean, the blueprints, what they did last year when they lost 22-16, they played keep away, they ran the ball pretty well, and they were amazing in the red zone defensively. So they were holding the Chiefs to field goals. That's the blueprint. You know, when you give up 22 points to the Chiefs, you feel like you're going to win. And you got to think in terms of, if you're the Broncos, 27, 30 points it's going to take. There needs to be more urgency with possessions. I don't know why Pat Shurmur doesn't understand that, you know, oh, we scored on 3 of our 8 possessions. Yeah, so that's right. 21 points. That's not beating the Chiefs. I'm just doing the math. I'm not trying to be critical. You're not beating the Chiefs with 21 points, and you can't count on a defensive touchdown. But the key is to play keep away from Patrick Mahomes, run the football, win time of possession, because in those instances, I've seen him, meaning Mahomes, get impatient. He will try to make throws because now he hasn't been on the field for like 25 minutes of real time. He gets out there and he forces the ball to Kelce, or he forces the ball in the double coverage to Tyreek Hill. And that's where you've got to get the turnover. It's not enough to get a deflection or get him off the field. To win, they're going to have to win the takeaway battle. And they've lost the takeaway battle in 9 of the 11 games during this losing streak. You know, the Chiefs have scored first 3 times out of 5 Arrowhead 4-5 in Denver. I mean, they just the script is always the same. The script, the Chiefs get out ahead early, and the Broncos have a turnover or two, and they just are not good enough to play catch up. When we've seen the Broncos at their best against the Cowboys, against the Chargers, it's very clear what the dance steps are. Score first, preferably in the first quarter, and allow your defense then to do things with coverage and with their pressure with their outside linebackers and blitzing that they can't do when you're trailing. So I'd feel a lot better if this game were on the, at home, but it's the Chiefs are beatable this year. And in years past, I didn't feel that way. The last few years that the Broncos had any chance. This year, the Chiefs at least feel beatable because they're turning the ball over.
The injury to Melvin Gordon has him 50-50 for Sunday. I believe what Calvin Anderson is out. Any other Broncos we need to worry about from an injury standpoint?
No, it's actually good news instead for once. You know, Greg Bowles was back yesterday for the first time. He will start at left tackle. He might be rusty, but guys, they need their first-round picks to play well. Bowles has got to play well. Noah Fant's got to play well. Bradley Chubb's got to play well. And I know it's not totally fair when Bowles has been out and Chubb's been. It doesn't matter. If you're going to beat the Chiefs, your best players, your most talented players have to play well. I mean, it's just a no-excuse league. But you've got Bowles back. Kareem Jackson will be back. Bobby Massey will be back. You know, you're basically full strength. Glasgow's not playing, but, you know, Miners has been a certainly an adequate replacement at right guard. Reisner will be back. I mean, they're just everything's setting up for you to give them your best shot. But your best players have to play well. Your first round picks have to play well. They're going to have to get a play from Cortland Sutton. He hasn't really done anything in the last 4 or 5 weeks. So, I mean, your best guys have to produce on this biggest stage.
Troy, you just mentioned the first round picks having to produce, and you named a few guys, and you didn't name Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy has 24 catches, 253 yards this year, zero touchdowns. Obviously, he has been injured, but he has been a bit underwhelming since returning from that injury. How do they get Jerry Jeudy more involved? And do you think that they want to, or are they feeling like they're okay not forcing the ball into Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the statistics are underwhelming. The injury played a huge part in that. He missed 6 weeks. But if you want Jerry Jeudy involved, you have to prioritize him. You got to get him involved early. Bubble screen, slant. He should have 3 catches by the end of the first quarter if it's me calling the plays. I want to get him in space. I want to see what he can do and make somebody miss. I watch how the Cowboys use CeeDee Lamb, and I'm like, that should be Jerry Jeudy. I don't see any of that creativity with Jerry Jeudy other than a couple of weeks ago they started using him in motion as a decoy. I don't want him as a decoy. But the problem, Nate, is they haven't figured out how to use Jeudy and Sutton together. Since Jeudy came back with Sutton, neither one of them is producing. Tim Patrick's been their most reliable guy, and as he deserves to be, but they've got to figure out a way to use those two together when on the field because we're not seeing it. And again, they're not good enough for those guys to put up pedestrian numbers. And I'm not blaming those guys. I'm going right to the scheme that they get too conservative. They don't want to turn it over. And it's the old, I'm going to take care of the ball, but I won't take any chances either. They've got to find that balance because if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you're going to need a big play, a splash play from Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it, buddy.
You got it, guys. Take care. Have a great show.
Later, Troy.
That was Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos Insider, presented by ROX, Rocks, Heating, and Air.